Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
And I'm Nick Dahl.
And this is another Secret War Saturday episode, and we are on the final issue of Marvel Superhero Secret Wars. I see Nick has a big smile on his face. It's issue 12, the end of a landmark series, really. A series that, you know, as we've talked a lot of times on the Secret Wars podcast, the series that really started the whole event trend or wave or whatever you want to call it in comics. Now, Crisis would have done it too. Crisis on Infinite Earths. It was even more like the events that you see today with all the crossovers and everything. But this was first. This started first. So before I get into the synopsis of the issue, let me give the creative team real quick. Written by Jim Shooter, pencils by Mike Zeck, inks by John Beatty, and colors by Christy Shield. So those have been the four creators that, for the most part, worked on the entire series. We did see Bob Layton fill in on pencils a couple issues. We had somebody else on colors for a few of the issues, I think. So what'd you think, Nick? What was your overall first impression of reading issue 12?
I like it. Honestly, compared to today's events, it left a lot more unanswered questions than I thought.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking about that. We'll have to discuss that. So, all right. Well, let's get into the issue itself. As I mentioned on the last episode, when I went to tease Nick with what could possibly happen, it opens up on that splash page. Nothing to fear. Yeah, Nick's holding it up now, and we see Captain America's indestructible shield has indeed been damaged. It is jacked up. And we get the exposition boxes, the dialogue boxes. 21 lie dead here. 21 heroes blown to pieces by a bolt from the blue. And it proceeds to name them. And then we see the smoke billowing up from the former Doom base that the heroes had taken over. We see Zaji and the rest of the villagers notice the smoke billowing up in the distance. And then the scene shifts to the Doom Tower. We see that Doom has grown to a large size again, and Claw is interrogating him, asking him, is it done? Are they dead? Are they gone? And Doom says, yes, let me pull the power back in. Let me, put it back in its jar, so to speak. And Claw remarks how all that power must be a big weight on Doom's shoulders. And to have it all bottled up so you can breathe easy and relax. And Doom says, yes, now that my enemies are dead. And Claw's like, are you sure they're dead? I mean, that's what you said, but... And Doom's like, of course they're dead. They must be dead. And then the scene shifts to the suburb of Denver that's floating through space, already millions of miles away from Doom World. Or Battle World, rather, but they can still see it in the distance. Enchantress goes in the bathroom. She draws a bath, which, you know, shouldn't be possible considering they're in a suburb with a dome over it floating through space. But, you know, Molecule Man, enough said there. But anyway, she runs a bath. She uses the water in the bathtub to summon a water elemental, and she wants to find out what's going on. So the water elemental, even though this is the last issue... again, it's very much of its time, the way that writers used to write back then. You always have to assume, even on the last issue of a miniseries, that somebody may be picking up this story for the first time. So this is our Jim Shooter, rather. It's his tool for exposition. And the Water Elemental tells Enchantress basically everything that's happened in the 12 issues so far. You know, things she already knows. You know, the Beyonder was... kind of the end-all be-all of his existence, and then somehow a pinhole opened up into our reality. He started observing Earth, and the thing that really intrigued him was desire and how humans seemed like they were constantly incomplete and they were always striving for more. They're oftentimes their reach exceeding their grasp. And so he brought these heroes and villains here, these two teams, to battle it out. And, you know, winner gets to have their desires and wishes granted. And, you know, Doom didn't want a part of that. He attacked the Beyonder. He won. He took the Beyonder's power. And so then Enchantress asks what's currently happening on Battleworld, and the Water Elemental's like, I'm not there. I don't know. And Enchantress does not accept that answer and says, then find out. Use all your power, and shoves her back in the water. The water itself starts boiling. She sees the bolt from the blue that killed the heroes. She sees Doom relaxing, being waited on literally hand and foot by Claw, and also sees Doom's future plans to attack Mephisto's realm to free his mother. That has the Enchantress worried, because she feels like, well, if Doom could attack Mephisto's realm, he could just as easily attack Asgard. So one final question for the Water Elemental: is the Beyonder still alive? The Elemental says, yes, the Beyonder is still alive, close to Doom, and looking for an opportunity to strike. So next we see the Lizard is not playing well with others, being cooped up in this apartment. He wants to be in a swamp. Really, all the heroes, or villains rather, are pretty restless. And Volcana, Marsha Rosenberg's telling everybody, calm down. Owen will get us home. You know, her boyfriend, Oe, the Molecule Man. And Dr. Octopus is just, he's had it. He's fed up. He's like, how's he going to get us home? Even traveling at millions of light years, it's going to take us forever to get home. But we don't even know if we're going in the right direction. Like, he has zero faith in Molecule Man, and he's just lashing out. He breaks through the wall, and Molecule Man all of a sudden materializes. He's like, what's going on here? And Dr. Octopus just calls him out, like, I don't have any confidence you can get us home. We're wandering blindly, endlessly through space, even traveling at light speed. You know, it's going to take us forever to get home. And Molecule Man's like, dude, I got it. You need to chill out. And we see Enchantress kind of hypnotize Volcana and summon her. And takes her to a park in Denver and says basically that she needs to warn Asgard about Doom. And she doesn't know if she has enough power to get there on her own. So she's going to absorb Volcana's life force. And Volcana can't really do anything to stop her, because if you remember when Molecule Man was hurt, she made a deal with Enchantress to get teleported to his side and agreed to give Enchantress anything she wanted. And that's a binding contract, you know, sorcery and, you know, think Little Mermaid, right? So meanwhile, the rest of the villains are outside of the apartment, and Molecule Man's like, look up in the sky. And there are stars there now. And if you remember the first issue, the Beyonder wiped out all the stars. And Dr. Octopus just loses it. He's like, this is not possible. You can't be this powerful. Tries to attack Molecule Man. And Molecule Man's like, dude, I've had enough. I've been studying space warps. I can get us home. But when we get home, you're going to the mental hospital, because you got problems, dude. And he like wraps him up with a black top from the streets. And then he looks around for his girlfriend, doesn't see her, and the Lizard says, oh, the witch took her. And so they track her down in the park, and Molecule Man's like, stop, what are you doing? And Enchantress is like, hey, she made a deal, you know? And Lizard's not having it. You know, Volcana was nice to him, when stood up for him when nobody else would. And so he attacks Enchantress, but she tries to teleport away. But she ends up taking the Lizard with her, and they materialize back on Battleworld, and Lizard gives her a nice swipe across the face, and jacks up her face pretty bad. And she backhands him and says, ah, restoring my beauty is going to cost me dearly in pain and sorcerous power. So in order to make you pay, I'm going to absorb your life force instead, even though it's not as powerful, it's not as good, the energy isn't as pure as from Volcana. It's enough for Enchantress to hopefully teleport herself back to Asgard, or perhaps she only has enough power to teleport herself to death in an icy void, but she disappears. And next we see Doom is actually asleep in his tower, and Claw is sneaking up on him, and we see his eyes and mouth glowing. And then as Doom awakes, Claw pretends like nothing was going on. And Doom's upset that Claw even let him go to sleep. He's like, dude, you're not supposed to let me sleep. My power could rise up. My dreams, I could wipe out all of existence. You're not supposed to be doing that, letting me sleep. And Claw's like, or maybe you'd accidentally revive the heroes. And that makes Doom stop. He's like, what? Speak no more of them, Claw. They are dead. Claw's like, I wouldn't be so sure. So it really seems like he's kind of like egging Doom on. And he says, you could have revived him without realizing it. Doom's like, no, I would know. Claw says, well, there's another way. And for all his intelligence, Doom just seems like he's really being played by Claw. I mean, can he not sense that? Doom's like, really? There's another way? Tell me more. And Doom says, not only will I tell you, I am a master of sound. I will show you 3D images from solidified sound energy of how this could have gone down, right? So he makes these 3D illusions, almost like watching a movie unfold. He says, okay, so check it out. Here's what happened, Doom. Zaji sees the smoke in the distance. She heads to Doom Base. She finds the heroes. They're all dead. They're all jacked up. They're all bodies barely holding together until she finds her beloved. And she tries to revive a few. No, it doesn't work. They're all in, like, either dead or as close to dead that it makes no difference. Until she finds her beloved Colossus, who, now correct me if I'm wrong, you know, she was all into Johnny Storm, and then, you know, Colossus was trying to be honorable and didn't pursue her, even though he had interest in her and was in love with her, because Johnny, and then when he mentioned to Johnny that she was hurt, and Johnny's like, I don't have time for that, Chippy, then it was on for Colossus. And he went to her and professed his feelings and, you know, a jar of gas or whatever that let them share their thoughts. So maybe at that point, but they only hung out for like one afternoon, right? And now all of a sudden they're like in love and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know, kind of a weak part of the story, but it serves Claw's purposes here.
Well, they've also mentioned that didn't someone surmise last time that it's possible that her healing power causes an extra connection?
Yeah, but that would, I mean, well, I guess that could go both ways, but she healed a lot of people.
That's true.
And she only ever had feelings for Johnny and Colossus. So I don't know. I mean, it just seems like two people in that time is even a lot, you know?
Yeah. 12 issues. Maybe no one's thanked her before.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe she's just a hoe. Anyway, so she finds Colossus, and Claw says, so Colossus, you know, he sensed that something was about to happen. Captain America mentioned a bolt from the blue. So instinctively, he shifted into armor form at the last possible instant, and he's not as damaged as the rest. And Zaji, you know, with her love, pours her life force into Colossus and manages to revive him. But as he awakens, tragedy. She basically transferred her entire life force into him. And as Colossus wakes up, he's just in time to see Zaji take her final breaths. So then what does Colossus do? He doesn't really stop to mourn. He's like, gotta save everybody else. So then he finds Reed Richards. Richards also not in as bad a shape because of the elasticity of his body. So he manages to get Richards into one of the cellular regeneration chambers that are in Doom Base that apparently were not destroyed when most of Doom Base was destroyed. So gets Richards healed. Richards, in turn, uses the technology at Doom Base to make more or use more of the cellular regeneration chambers for all the rest of the heroes. And apparently none of these work on Zaji either, by the way, because she's like dead is dead. Maybe the one, you know, along with Uncle Ben, even though he showed up alternate version, but Captain Marvel, the first Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel, the Kree, and Zaji, those are like the only two people that ever stayed dead in the Marvel universe. So, interesting.
Don't tempt Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll bring back Zaji.
Yeah, Donny Cates is going to listen to this and she's going to show up in the Venom series or something. So Claw's like, yeah. And so, you know, Reed Richards throws all the heroes in these cellular regeneration chambers and they all survive and there you go. they may be on their way right here, right now, Doom. And I credit to Mike Zeck for that panel. Doom looks anything but confident, that expression on his face. Absurd. That couldn't happen. Those odds are impossible. Well, then why do you look so worried, Doom? You look worried. You look constipated. You look scared, son. I got to tell you. And so Claw's just egging him. Yeah, you secretly, subconsciously wanted them to survive, to rise from the ashes, live again. And Doom's like, you speak madness, Claw. No, I killed them. They're gone. That's just it. They're dead. And Claw's like, well, if you're so sure, why don't you let the power out and check and see? And Doom's like, maybe I will. And again, Claw egging him on. Go ahead, Doom. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. And Doom's like, curse you, Claw. Now that I have that idea in my head, you put that thought in my head that they could have survived, this could have happened. I let the power out. I may subconsciously cause that whole event to happen, what you just talked about. And so he's trying to talk himself into it. He's like, no, I have these powers. If I never use them, if I'm scared to use them, I'll eventually fall asleep and then God knows what could happen. No, they're dead. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. They're dead. Couldn't have happened. And then we turn the page, get a full splash page of a kaboom. And we see there's Mjolnir, Thor's hammer. It's been thrown through the wall of Doom Tower. And, you know, on the previous page, the last words of Doom is, they are dead. And you turn the page, and not only do you see the hammer, you see Claw saying, then again. And Doom says, the hammer of Thor. So Doom decides to let the power out, and it runs amok. He's clearly not in control. He's losing it, man. He's losing it. And on the following page, we see Doom try to pull the power back in himself. And Claw says, give me a little bit of the power while you kind of get your bearings, and I'll go fight the heroes on your behalf. So Doom agrees to do that. And on the following page, we see the heroes, Captain America leading the charge with his broken shield, saying, everybody, attack! And as they're about to head inside Doom Tower, Spider-Man says, oh, my spider sense is tingling. And we see Claw manifest a giant monster. So we saw before he was able to make the 3D constructs to show Doom what transpired so that it allowed the heroes to survive the bolt from the blue. Well, now with the power, the little bit of the Beyonder power that Doom has given him, Claw can not only make 3D constructs, they're actually real. They're actually, you know, they physically manifest. So he creates this army of monsters for the heroes to fight against. He reanimates Ultron, so the heroes have to deal with him. And as Ben Grimm is fighting this weird-looking blue monster, he starts to change back into the Thing, or Ben Grimm, rather. He's the Thing. He's fighting the blue rock, weird-looking mushroom monster kind of guy. I don't even know how to describe him. But as he's fighting, he starts to change back to Ben Grimm. And he's like, no, I can't let this happen. And he physically stops it. He's actually able, for the first time, to control it and turns himself back into Thing. And he's really excited about it. But at the same time, got to keep fighting. And he's fighting alongside She-Hulk, actually. And we also see Hulk trying to take out Ultron and punches him pretty hard. But it's Ultron. He's indestructible. And he fires at the Hulk's leg, injuring the Hulk. So Iron Man and the new Spider-Man try to come to, and Wolverine try to come to the Hulk's aid, but Ultron is like, nah, stop organics. My next beam will vaporize you. And before he actually can, he seems to explode from the inside. And Iron Man's like, what a break. His warranty must have just expired. pretty corny there, Shooter. But actually what happened was the Wasp was able to fly in through a dent that was caused by the Hulk's punch, and just started ripping out wires and shooting at stuff. And so he kind of got damaged from the inside out. And so it's a pitched battle, but the heroes prevail in the end with Captain America deciding I need to get to Doom. He's the one that's really behind this. And Claw tries to stop him, but, you know, it's Captain America versus Claw. I mean, that's a no-brainer right there. Captain America's going to win that fight 100 times out of 100. But we see, as Captain America runs inside Doom Tower, Claw is actually what he wanted. He says, perfect, 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 perfect. Because he talks in that echo, because his brain's still not all there from being trapped in Galactus's ship for so long. So as Captain America confronts Doom, Doom's not surprised. He says, if anybody could make it through, it would be you. But I've had enough. I'm pretty much going to kill you and let the universe beware. And so Captain America runs toward him, and Doom says, die, Avenger, and disintegrates him. And then he says, it's finished. It's over. Now I can calm the raging storm in my soul and bring order to my thoughts, lest a random spillage of power cosmic caused by my inner unrest cause the unthinkable. But it actually does. Doom isn't really in control of the power anymore. The power has started to seep out of him and into his surroundings. So that power allows Captain America to basically reintegrate. So Doom fries him again, comes right back. And as he's about to punch Doom, Doom actually crumbles upon himself. And the power's running wild. He can't control it at all. And Captain America says, Doom, listen, you need someone to anchor you to reality. Take my hand. I'll help you. And as he reaches for Captain America, we see Claw is there watching. And this kind of globe or ball of white energy comes out of Claw. And it's actually the Beyonder, who had been in possession of Claw all along. And that's why he was egging Doom on and giving Doom these ideas of how the heroes might have survived. And as the Beyonder heads toward Doom, he actually manages to take his power back. And Doom reverts to his previous classic armor and hooded cloak. And as Claw is now himself again and realizes what he did, he's like, no, I'm sorry, Doom. Your scars are back on your face. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. The Beyonder took over my body. I set you up. And as Captain America looks on, the Beyonder, as still as this ball of energy, Doom and Claw all disappear. So Captain America goes outside, and Mr. Fantastic says, hey, we drove all the creatures away. Everyone's all right. What happened in there? So Captain America says, for the moment, let's just say it's over. I'll tell you the whole story later. But right now, let's get back to Doom Base, where they have some important business. So the first thing they do is bury Zaji, because, as I said, despite all their efforts, they weren't able to revive her. So as they go back inside, Reed Richards says, I got a lot of work to do, trying to figure out a way to get us home. The rest are like, okay, free time. Let's grab some food. Let's repair our costumes. Let's just hang out. So in the costume room, we see a couple of the X-Men get new costumes, including Professor X. And it's that argument again, Professor X and Storm. Professor X saying, hey, now that I'm not stuck in the wheelchair, I can actually go on missions with you guys. Storm's like, it's not a good idea. And during this time, Spider-Man notices that they're all using a different machine to make their costumes rather than the machine that he used. And obviously, we know the story now that he didn't use a costume making machine, because he asked them, hey, can any of you guys control your costumes or your clothes with your thoughts? And Human Torch is like, no, dude, they're just clothes. So we know that, again, he got a symbiote rather than clothes. So it's just another hint of what's to come for the black costume. Meanwhile, we see that the Hulk, his gamma radiation levels have spiked. And so they're not even able to put him in any of the cellular regeneration pods anymore, because he just shorts them out. So Reed just makes him a crutch and a brace, and he's the grumpy old Hulk again, pretty much. Very little of Banner's intellect left. So as some of the other heroes are hanging out, Kurt Connor shows up, who, for those that aren't aware, that's the Lizard's alter ego. And again, you know, he was killed by the Enchantress, but here he is back in human form and alive and well. And people start realizing, there really seems to be some pretty strange coincidences going on now. all of a sudden things seem to, everything seems to be coming up heroes. And the X-Men remark, yeah, it'd be great if Kitty's dragon would show back up. And no sooner are the words uttered than, yeah, here's Lockheed, along with another dragon native to the planet. And Mr. Fantastic comments, you know, I thought maybe this might happen. Basically, what has happened is that residual energy of the Beyonder has basically infected the planet. So the whole idea of wish fulfillment is now partly tied into their surroundings. So they're able to think of things and wish for things and have them happen. Because again, it's part of, you know, what the Beyonder was offering them. And because his energy wasn't controlled properly by Doom, and then it got transferred from Doom to the Beyonder, some of it you know, wasn't completely reabsorbed by the Beyonder and is just kind of out there. So Captain America hears this and walks off. And the caption is, you know, a man with a mission, with, you know, incredible willpower, and, you know, he's Captain America, and he can't believe that his indestructible shield that was a product of a freak metallurgic accident was destroyed, and he went through the wreckage where the bolt from the blue came down and found every little sliver that he possibly could, and he arranges it all on a table, and through sheer force of will, dun-dun-dun, the shield is restored. Again, a little corny, but at the same time, I remember when I read this as a kid thinking it was, that's pretty cool. I mean, how else are you going to do it, really? Because again, I mean, the words are right there. It's a metallurgic accident. There's no way to recreate the shield. So it had to be some kind of, you know, magic or, you know, wish fulfillment or whatever to have it restored. So,
still.
Yeah.
Still. Why doesn't he bring back Bucky?
Well, Bucky's not there. I mean,
Bucky's dead at this point in the comics, right? Right.
Bucky's dead. But I mean, when you think about the things that are happening, like Kirk Connors comes back to life, his Kirk Connors body is there. He can't, he doesn't just wish his shield to be whole. He's got to go and find every little piece of it. So there's some limits. It's not like, you know, you can't wish for him. You know, I wish for the power of the Beyonder. You know, it's residual wish power.
Fair, fair. I just feel like everyone forgot about Bucky until Ed Brubaker's run on Captain America.
Well, again, remember at this time,
this is a long time before that. I know.
Dead at this time was more likely to be dead. This was well before the time that they killed people and brought them back. I kill somebody on Friday and they're back by Tuesday, so that wasn't even a thought at this time. There probably was a editorial mandate if somebody had pitched to Jim Shooter, hey, I want to bring back Bucky, he probably would have told him no.
Well, obviously also would have been a whole different event if that had happened, but I just wanted to give Captain America a hard time for being greedy about his shield.
All right, fair enough. So even then we see that shortly on the barren wastes of beyond the fortress walls, Reed has managed to recreate the transporter that the Beyonder, I mean, he kind of used his powers, but Reed has been able to kind of use the technology and, you know, his Mr. Fantasticness to create a teleporter. Everybody's going to be teleported back to Earth. So they start with Spider-Man, Hulk, Magneto, and Dr. Connors, as well as Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
And then the X-Men are next. And Colossus is like, I'm staying here. I'm sad. I'm a sad panda. And Professor X is like, dude, she gave her life for you. Are you going to waste that life? He says, okay, I guess I'm coming. And they take Lockheed the dragon as well. But then right as Reed presses the button, that other dragon flies in and it goes, Zack! A big giant fireworks show, so to speak. And Johnny's like, that didn't look good. And Richards is like, nah, it was just a light show. I'm sure they're fine. I just hope it doesn't cause any problems with their rematerializing back on Earth, which we'll see. We'll see the after effects of that in the next X-Men follow-up issue that we talk about.
Instead of the fly, is it like the dragon?
You'll see. You'll see. And Captain America says, okay, the Avengers are next, but where's the She-Hulk? And She-Hulk shows up and somehow she has a Fantastic Four costume on. I'm sure made by that same machine. She says, I'm over here, but I'm not going with you. I'm going with the Fantastic Four. And Reed's like, what? And thing says, you know, this is the first time in a long time I've been able to be Ben Grimm. I have control over it now. I can switch back and forth at will. And I'd like some time to, like, enjoy that and appreciate that. And Reed's like, you don't want to be here all alone. He goes, I'll be fine. I'll get some thinking done. Just leave me the gizmo and, you know, you guys be off. And so that's basically what happens. They send the Avengers off, and then Reed asks Ben one more time, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm sure. Just give me the gizmo. And Reed thinks to himself, if only I could tell Ben what I suspect about his transformation, but it's the kind of thing that might shatter a man, even a strong man like Ben. So no, it's better if I say nothing and hope he discovers the truth on his own. So Ben transports Johnny Storm, Mr. Fantastic, and She-Hulk, and he's the last one left. And he thinks to himself, nice guy, Reed, but a little bit of a worrywart. But what's that FDR once said? There ain't nothing to fear. And so that's the end. The end. Again, like Nick mentioned at the top, it's an event that really, I mean, there's a lot left here to play off of. And a lot of the open-ended stories, a lot of the kind of the ideas that can still be explored were actually explored in the monthly books. So in that way, this actually is similar to a crossover of nowadays where it won't necessarily end and they'll a lot of times what they did, it doesn't happen as much anymore, but it certainly happened in the late 80s and in the 90s. Look at something like DC Legends. That's a perfect example. DC Legends, 6-issue miniseries, and then after it ends, you got, you know, a new Justice League book, you got the Suicide Squad book, you got there were a couple more that came spinning out of it, and so it was all of a sudden, it's like, so the event ends, and the universe will never be the same again, and how do you denote that by, you know, starting up a bunch of new series? So they didn't necessarily start up a bunch of new series after this, but obviously there were a lot of repercussions for the Fantastic Four with the Thing no longer being on the team. And honestly, I kind of feel like this was John Byrne. John Byrne loves the She-Hulk, one of his favorite characters. And he was writing and doing the art for Fantastic Four at this time. So he wanted to bring She-Hulk on. I was like, hey, I'm going to take advantage of see if I can get Shooter to leave Ben Grimm or something can happen to Ben Grimm during Secret Wars and I can bring She-Hulk on and get to draw her. So, that was – but I would say that's the second biggest impact of Secret Wars is She-Hulk joining the Fantastic Four. Obviously, the number one impact is Venom. It's the alien costume, the symbiote that eventually tries to bond with Peter Parker. So again, that story plays out. We see a few repercussions for the X-Men. As I said, when the next issue, I don't want to give it away because Nick hasn't read it yet, but we'll see some repercussions that are caused by that other dragon flying in. Obviously, Colossus and Kitty Pryde's relationship is fundamentally changed, based on his feelings for Zsasz. And that takes years and years to really come to fruition. But I guess they've finally gotten over it now. Or I wondered if Colossus still lays awake at night and thinks about Zsasz once in a while. Or if Zsasz's... they're getting married very, very soon in a couple months in X-Men Gold. I think it's number 50 or 25.
Colossus and Kitty...
Colossus and Kitty Pryde.
Pryde? Okay. Yeah.
That would be a perfect time to bring Zsasz back. She crashes the wedding. What's up, bro? Don't you remember me? I saved your life, and this is how you do me?
Get now, Marvel on the phone.
Yeah, oh my right, God. Right? I'll write the book practically writes itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it obviously it works out for Kitty and Colossus are finally, what is it, 30 years later? 33 we'll years say. Later? They're finally going
to get jealous ex from the 80s.
Yeah, finally going to get married. So yeah, there were some repercussions, and again we'll be exploring those in the upcoming weeks as we go through some of the other books that tie in. And I actually can let you know I have it here in front of me. That's the wrong window. What books we're going to cover next week. And again, you can go to thecomicbookherald.com and look up the Secret War read in order, Secret War chronology for yourself and see what comes up next. But in case you don't want to do that, I'll let you know. We're going to cover three books next Saturday, all Secret Wars tie-ins. And it's Thor 383, which I've never read, actually. We've got Fantastic Four 265, and we've got Avengers 243. So I don't know, like the Thor, maybe it's following up with the Enchantress and letting us know that she actually made it back safely and all that. The Fantastic Four, again, that's kind of the fallout of She-Hulk joining the team. And then Avengers. That Avengers story is pretty good, actually, but not for reasons of the heroes returning. But if you remember in the Avengers titles we read leading up to Secret Wars, they kind of had a problem with too many members. So there's still that to be worked out. So that's partly what Avengers 243 is about. And it actually eventually leads into the Avengers West Coast. That's kind of how they resolve that too many members. They become bi-coastal and have two different squads. So yeah, that's it. Marvel Superhero Secret Wars. I will say, you know, like I've said throughout these Marvel Superhero Secret Wars Saturdays, that it's been a lot of fun going back and reading. It's been over 10 years since I've like read these. Obviously, I knew the story. I knew, you know, that whole Claw thing with how the heroes survive kind of stays with you. It's not something you forget. Just because it's memorable. It's a great job by Shooter. Really interesting way to, you know, revive them after them being obliterated, basically. So that's not something you really forget. So for me, 12 was definitely not the most fun I had going back and reading these because, again, I remembered it. Whereas some of the other issues, I'd forgotten a lot of things more so than the final issue. All that being said, I mean, it still stands up. It's still a great story. I still really enjoy it, especially for when the mountain drops on them. That's a favorite moment. And the other favorite moment would be Spider-Man kicking Titania's ass, throwing her through the wall. that's a great one too. So yeah, we'll be continuing the Secret Wars chronology. No plans on slowing down. Actually going to speed up a little bit because we're going to cover multiple books till we get through all the after Secret War tie-ins. And then I think it's, if we stay on schedule, it'll be the first Saturday in June that we'll be doing Marvel Superhero Secret Wars number 2, the first issue of that series. So it's going to come up pretty quick. All right, Nick, what else do you have to add?
A lot, I think. Like I said, I'm so surprised. Like, there's a whole suburb of Denver just floating in space somewhere. It's like, what happened to Aurora? That's where my parents grew up. I mean, that's where I grew up. That's the suburb of Denver. What happened to it? Where did Aurora go? I don't know. And then, like, the whole X-Men thing, I guess, will be addressed quickly in X-Men. The Doctor Doom thing, and, like, I called it last time, by the way, with Claw. I said when someone was jumping bodies, I'm like, I bet that's a Beyonder.
Yep.
When it went from what? Hulk to Spider-Woman to Claw, I think.
Yeah.
And just, yeah. Again, this comic has my favorite type of Captain America, which is like, I'm going to run in there no matter what. And I'm going to get vaporized 3 times before I make it to the bad guy. But I'm Captain America.
But if I'm
going to sacrifice myself.
So you thought it was going to be the Beyonder that somehow saved the heroes or revived them. So I guess in a way you were right, because it was the Beyonder working through Claw, leveraging Doom's own self-doubt that kind of made it happen. But
yeah.
not directly, which is what I think you thought. But you weren't that far off. But I think this works a lot better than just the Beyonder going, let me use the last ounce of my energy to revive the heroes. It's way better this way. Although, it doesn't really reflect very well on Doom that he finally gets what he's always been after, right? Like, omnipotent power, and he can't handle it at all.
Well, that makes sense. I don't know. To me, like, yeah, like you can't just suddenly, like we discussed before, become Dr. Manhattan and keep a straight head about it. Like, Doom's one of the smartest people in the Marvel universe, but.
Well, I think you can. I think you can get power like that and keep control of it if you do become like Dr. Manhattan and you're divorced from your humanity. That's the problem with Doom. He's got this power, but he never stops being Doom. He never stops with the ego. He never stops with the desires.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, it happens like with Dr. Manhattan, it does also happen like that. But it's
But he's fundamentally.
It takes him days to bring himself back, whereas like Doom is still dealing with this crap. Like it feels like the same day it happened to him, he's still it was cool to see everything, but now like I can't handle it.
Right. I mean, I think Dr. Manhattan fundamentally changed who he was.
You know,
like the guy he was before no longer exists. He's been changed, you know, on a molecular, even an atomic level. You know, he is not the character or the person. Doesn't have the feelings, doesn't have the thoughts. He has the memories of who he was before, but he is a different being. Doom is still Doom. He still has all the frailties and the foibles and the pain and the flawed characteristics that he always did. So I guess you're right. When you think about it like that, it makes total sense that he would ultimately fail when he, you know, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. And then Doom couldn't handle it.
And then I wish our following Secret Wars could also allow, and even though I've read most of them, I wish it could allow us to follow the full Venom storyline too, because Venom, even though I've read like the collection, which is like the birth of Venom, which pulls the most important issues and stuff, like almost over a decade ago when Spider-Man 3 was coming out, even though I've been a Venom fan long before the movies, he's been my favorite villain since I was a child, but like, yeah, I wish we could follow that also, but that's so much more comic.
Oh yeah, that is a lot of comic. I mean, we're only gonna read 252, but yeah, we'd have to read like two. I think it goes to 258 or 257, the Alien Costume Saga, and then you know eventually breaks out, and it. I mean, it doesn't just go in Amazing Spider-Man because
yeah.
this time there are other. There are other titles like Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually with the Venom appears for the first time full figure in 300, Amazing Spider-Man 300, you know, cameos in 299, 298 is Todd McFarlane's first major Spider-Man work. And then the alien costume shows back up in Web of Spider-Man. And yeah, I mean, it's a long, like if you wanted to read like all Venom appearances. I mean, he got so popular in the 90s. He was all over the place, guest starring.
Well, I mean, even just as we did his origin.
Yeah,
then. Then you have like Venom Lethal Protector and all that.
Oh, yeah. It goes a long way. Maybe we'll revisit that at some point. We can do, we'd probably have to do it like it's just a spotlight. Just do, you know, get all 20, it's probably 20, between 20 and 30 books. That lead up to 300 and then maybe the resolution, which is, I think is like 303. To go past that would just be like, then Carnage. And yeah, I mean, it gets crazy, man. Then they've got the Anti-Venom and Maniac and they went too, as Marvel is wont to do, they go a little too far.
They've been doing a lot with Venom in the last like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like too many miniseries about Venom.
Well, and now he's going to get another regular ongoing by Donny Cates, who's like one of the hottest writers in comics now.
And
I think it's supposed to be out
a new one,
actually. Yeah, a new Venom series.
Not just like a new legacied one with a new number one, but in a second Venom series, because he's had a series for like.
Yeah, so that one's ending, and they're starting another. New number, a fresh start, man.
Oh, so this one's actually a number one with no legacy number.
It'll have that box where it has both numbers, probably. Right?
Wah, wah. Marvel, what are you doing, Marvel?
Yep. Okay, anything else to add about number 12 here?
No, but like, I don't know. Like, reading it, yeah, having read it now, that's. That's, I know it was partially inspired by toy companies, but that's fun. Like the first event, like that's like, it's one of the movies that, I mean, one of the comics that the Russo brothers have talked about making, they want to make the most, is not the current Secret Wars, the original Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And I can see why. Cause once, if they own Fox and stuff, eventually it's just like, it's cherry picking the best villains and heroes and just like,
yeah. And I'm
it's
sure
it's like a toy box.
I'm sure they wouldn't, it wouldn't be exactly these rosters. They'd move stuff around. But I mean, you probably have some Guardians of the Galaxy's characters in there, and you know, Rocket Raccoon, Groot, all, you know, the popular ones. But yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. And if they could finally do a Doctor Doom right in film, that would be good. Speaking of that, did you ever watch the real bad recent Fantastic Four?
I mean, no, I watched the first two, which is actually why I was happy Chris Evans got cast as Captain America, because even though I hated those movies, I recognized his talent. I didn't even working at a movie theater and getting free movies and having it on HBO for like 6 months. Josh, I never watched Fantastic Four.
Was that the director, Josh Trank? Was that his name?
Yeah, Josh Trank.
Yeah, it was just you just knew as it unfolded with all the news coming out, drama on the set, that it was just going to be a train wreck. So, but I am surprised, being you're such a movie guy, that you didn't go to see the train wreck, didn't slow down the car to see the accident.
It's funny.
Happen.
Me and my friend used to do a podcast where we intentionally watched the worst superhero movies, like Elektra, Catwoman, like
Those are great. What are you talking about? You don't know what a good superhero movie
is. Elektra?
I've never seen either one of them.
Catwoman's the worst. But like, yeah, we've never put ourselves for through Fanforstic, as I call it, because that's how the title was written out.
Yep.
But no, but you know, there's as long as the Marvel deal isn't screwed up, there's a Doctor Doom movie coming out.
Really?
In the plans. It's going to be, I think, written and directed by Noah Holloway, who did Fargo, Legion, and a few other shows on TV.
Well, Doom hasn't even come close to being done even below average. He's been done absolutely horribly twice now, so.
He could be a Avenger. He doesn't have to be a just Fantastic Four villain. He could be the next Avengers villain once Disney owns Fox. Yeah. Like, Doom is an Avengers level villain. He's great.
Yeah, agreed. All right, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Secret Wars Saturday. Don't forget, you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. Twitter.com/TheComicSource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us there. All three places are great spots to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow along with our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.